that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape, well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man. Yes.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits.
So, I don't know how many of you guys out there have checked out the workout that Ryan created for me, but I have been doing it.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, yeah. Not recently, because I had my tooth pulled. I had I had an infection, so I couldn't work out for a couple of days. But, and then I was super busy before, but I had done it. But I had started doing it.
Okay.
And, that is difficult. Like, okay. At one point where you asked me to do those side-to-side explosive push-ups.
Okay.
How the hell am I supposed to do that for a minute, right, or a minute and a half, or whatever it is?
No, it's really hard. Mr. Cardio, you talk a big game, so I gave you a good big workout.
That is really difficult.
I'd actually be interested.
Really difficult.
I forget what episode it was. I think it was Justin's new program or something like that. But if anyone else has downloaded it, it's on the app. So if you have a smartphone and you have the Chimwits app, you can download it as a bonus. I'd be interested to hear if anyone else has tried and completed the workout.
It's a fabulous workout. Yeah. I mean, I was done.
Yeah.
Especially the second half of it. Oh my God. Yeah. It's like can you do that? Can you
sure.
do a 90 seconds of side to side explosive push-ups?
Whatever
push-ups?
It was, I'm sure. I wouldn't give a program I can't do. Well, that's not true, but I think I could do it. But speaking of working out, I've been working out more myself, because I after I got back from vacation, it's been really tough getting back to working out, and I finally got back to applying the Reacher rule where I keep my stuff with me. And last week alone, so if you had asked me at the beginning of the week what the outlook was for exercise, it looked like I would only work out 2 days, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to have my stuff with me just in case. And sure enough, I had 3 days during the week. So I went from working out only twice to 3 days where an hour opened up here, an hour and a half opened up there, where I was able to actually get in a full week
awesome.
Of working out. So, and only, you know, because I finally was like, all right, I'm going to apply the Reacher rule again, because I've been kind of getting lazy. And I haven't been lazy so much as, although there was 1 week where I was really lazy, but it's been more just work has been kicking my ass. But anyway, before we get it's funny, I have a few things I wanted to talk about, because we don't really have you'll understand, I guess, why, but we don't have a main subject to talk about, because it's really an interesting study that I thought was interesting to talk about. But I did have I heard the worst advice, I think, ever from a trainer the other day. It took everything in me to keep my mouth shut. So, you know, we talk a lot about the scope, you know, our scope. You know, as trainers, we're pretty limited with what we can give advice about. You know, obviously, if someone, you know, has an injury, you know, we talk about it a lot, and we want to try to stay within our scope. But if someone has an injury, I might say, oh, it looks like X, Y, and Z, but you really want to get that checked out. So you try not to diagnose. You try not to give medical advice. You try not to give very specific nutrition advice, especially if there's an injury. You know, it's one thing for me to say, you know, give basic nutrition, but it's if you have if you have an illness or some specific medical issue, I shouldn't be giving you, you know, then that's the realm of a registered dietitian. I guess I'm prefacing that because, I'm pro vaccines.
Okay.
And if any of our listeners are not, this isn't meant to make people who are anti-vax look bad, but the science says enough that you know, I'm pretty much pro-vaccine, and there's a lot behind it. I'm not going to get into it because I'm not a scientist. This isn't a podcast to talk about whether vaccines are good or bad. I'm just giving my own opinion. But regardless of your opinions or, you know, or beliefs on whether or not vaccines are good or bad, you certainly should not be telling your clients not to vaccinate their soon to be born child and handing them books on why vaccines are bad. And so that was basically what I saw. There was a woman training a client that was pretty far along the way. I mean, I want to say at least 8-9 months pregnant. And the trainer was just, you know, spent a lot of the session talking about, you know, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't do this and don't vaccine and here's a book and just going, spouting her beliefs on vaccinations. And, you know, what she was saying was just so patent, so false and whatever. Again, like, I don't want to get into a discussion of, this isn't a discussion on whether vaccines are good or bad, but regardless, that's not an area that you should be advising the client. You know, you should be advising them on how to exercise properly, you know, pre and postnatal, not on whether or not they should be giving their kids vaccines. Well, and so that was really one of the worst case to me of trainer giving advice beyond their scope that I've ever seen.
If I was at the gym and I overheard that, I would have jumped in and said, yeah, don't listen to her. Listen to what someone who's qualified has to say.
Yeah.
And for me, that feels wrong on so many levels. Oh, yeah. She's allowed to have her opinion on it.
Yeah.
And she can talk about it all she wants. But the thing is, she's being hired to do a job.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if on their private time, she wants to give her opinion when she's not being hired, right? They're just talking, they're hanging out. Right? That almost feels a little better to me.
Maybe if they're friends and they're hanging out. Yeah, I guess.
So yeah, a little better. But the fact is that she's being paid to do a job, and she is now going well beyond her scope. Even though in her mind she thinks she's doing right, I'm sure. Yeah. She think, you know, for whatever her political beliefs are, a lot of it is political and social nature.
When it comes with vaccine, yeah,
I think
I don't
a lot
know.
Of it is political, wow. Social, not completely political, but it has to do with a distrust of government, FDA, yeah, and thinking that there's a conspiracy, you know, that drug companies are trying to get you to sell these. It runs
well, yeah,
real deep.
I mean, well, you have different, you have some people that think it's, then some that say, well, it's a personal liberty issue, and
yeah, that too.
There's a whole host of things. The reasoning she was giving, that was what bugged me too, because this is the one thing where I could, right, we could talk about it, is that she was saying that, you know, if X amount of people are vaccinated, then why should, you know, even if you don't believe it, like, why should you vaccinate your kid? It was like, if X amount, and it's kind of, you know, that's part of the, I guess, the issue with it, is that, or the kind of miss, because some people think that, oh, well, if everyone else is vaccinated, why, you know, why should I vaccinate?
Because not everyone can take it.
Yeah, so, well, it was like, you have two put those people, well, there's like risk. A certain population, like, I think from what I understand, it's like you have, and I said I wasn't going to get into this, but like a certain amount of, like, so you basically, you can effectively eliminate kind of a disease, you know, a disease, or right, or, you know, but there's a certain amount of population that won't respond to the vaccine, and then there's another percent of the population who you can't vaccinate because they have other medical issues. And so if you then add choice to that, that's where you then take a disease that maybe is effectively eliminated because of the small amount of people that are not vaccinated or not responsive, to then a larger group. And we even saw there was an outbreak somewhere recently of God, I forget what, but I was reading something again that, you know, not too long ago, within weeks, where there was another big outbreak in an area where the anti-vax thing. So again, I said I wasn't going to get into why I'm against it. Now, all of a sudden, I guess I lied. But yeah, it was just one of those things beyond the scope. And yeah, you're right. I think maybe if they were friends and hanging out on their own time, it's one thing.
Say whatever she wants, but, you know, but in that sort of professional setting, it just felt very unprofessional. Yeah. It's like someone came to me for a guitar lesson, and I'm talking to them the whole time about, you know, my opinion on healthcare.
Yeah.
Right? Now, granted, that might not be as detrimental to someone as harmful, but that's not professional.
Well, you know, it's like when I train people, you know, I have my own political beliefs, but I try my, unless if I'm training somebody and I know that their beliefs are in line with mine, then that's fine, you know, because that's kind of open. But
well,
I'm not
have
gonna
a political discussion while you're working out, but not giving them harmful. That's not
talk different
politics, even though it may be unprofessional to do it too much when someone is paying you for something, and if you keep trying to.
Well,
force
it depends. I think like for me, it's like you always try to talk about what that client. So I have many of my clients. That's what they want to talk about. Politics is kind of important in right now.
Sure, sure.
So that's what a lot of people do talk about, and that tends to be where the discussion goes. But you try to keep it, you try to, you want to be careful with, you know, what you say with a client, because they are paying you, yep, for that time. And part of that is to be, quote, you know, kind of entertained in some way.
Sure.
However, that, whatever that means for them. For some, it's just silent exercise. For some, it's like talking. Whatever it is, you don't want to, you know, give, you know, engage in discussion that, I don't know how we got from there, from the vaccine person.
Professionalism.
But yeah, you don't
engage in proper discussion. That
yeah,
the person
an
wants
appropriate
to
discussion. And so I couldn't gauge whether the client even cared or how close they were. It was really hard for me to tell.
Sure.
I don't think they were good friends, because just the way that they had talked when she got there, I think it was her first time seeing her in a little while, but it just was unnerving that, you know, it's, again, it's like, regardless of your beliefs on it, like, even if I had a client and they, let's say I'm training somebody who is anti-vaccine, like, it's not my beyond my scope. So I'm not going to tell them, you know, hey, you know, you should vaccinate your child. Like that's, you know, maybe I might feel like I have a moral obligation to, but again, that's not my job as a trainer. Maybe again, if it's a friend, like if you told me, then I would tell you, but if I'm training a client, then it's purely professional. I'm going to train them and do my job to the best of my ability. And if I feel like I'm putting myself or them at risk, I may respectfully kind of decline the client, but I'm not going to, again, it's not my place to give them that advice, you know? So you just kind of, but that was definitely, I was like, whew, you do not give it. talk about something else, but that's not something you want to tell your clients, you know, at this stage. So, you know, I thought if I ever saw the person separately, I might say, hey, you know, I heard what she was telling you. You make sure you talk to your doctor and do your own research. Don't listen. No, don't take the, you know, I want to be, it's this weird situation where you want to be, I just want to make sure that she has access to the right information because I could hear that the trainer was giving her, again, if you're against them and there's science to back it up, then you can go to that. But she was giving her information that was actually wrong. Like, again, you may have a better, someone who is against it may have a better kind of stronger ground to work on. But for this particular case, it's like, so I, you know, I might say like, hey, why don't you do your own research, talk to your doctors, you know, make sure you, if you're listening to, just make sure you understand everything before just kind of jumping into it. But again, it's hard because it's not my scope. So it's like, what do you do?
And I think that is always weird. Saying talk to someone who's a professional in the area or get multiple opinions is always a safe thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, talk to your doctors or talk to multiple doctors or talk to scientists. But just taking it from a trainer who has her own social or political agenda, right? Yeah, I would recommend, not taking that advice.
Yeah.
So now you have a very interesting study that scares me half to death.
So we found an interesting study, which I then decided we're just going to make the podcast about it. So we may have another 2 or 3 minutes of the podcast, or we might have 10, 20, I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting. Part of it is also just like the science behind it. Some interesting things that, little eye-opening for me. And then, you know, I guess we see what comes down the line from it. So you hate mice, and mice are involved. So Justin's terrified of mice. I'm terrified of water bugs. So if you ever see us, if you have a mouse and a water bug, you will see two grown men screaming and running away. But anyway, so...
actually killed a water bug earlier today.
Ugh, God. Ugh. All right, so the part of this also, it was in the news, made the rounds a little bit, and it was kind of like cardio in a bottle or, you know, exercise in a pill, increase your cardio by 70%, you know, as these things tend to happen. They get a little over exaggerated. So basically there was a study that came out. It was in published in Cell Metabolism. So basically, to give you some background, when you look at like endurance, right? Or endurance is basically the ability to sustain prolonged activity. So you're sustaining activity for an extended period of time. So there was a study previously done with mice that seemed to find like a genetic pathway that was connected to endurance. So there was a specific gene pathway connected to endurance. And then they found that if you activate a specific gene, it was a PPAR delta, it would dramatically increase the endurance in mice. It also had some other kind of residual effects. Like the mice had better fat loss, and a better insulin response.
Wait, so they're making leaner, meaner mice.
Yeah. Mice are good pets. I'm telling you.
You know what? I actually, in college.
You had a friend that had the pet. Yeah. Well, are you afraid of rats or is it just mice?
Terrified of rats.
Okay. So rats are worse than mice.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Although if it's the switch completely turns off if it's a pet, like I don't even rat or a pet mouse, I don't even think about it. It's just a little
for just the
creature.
Giant ones on the subway,
just
that
the nasty
scary
subway
okay.
rats. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so in this study, they administered a chemical that permanently activated that gene pathway, which I think was given the initials GW. So basically, with this pathway kind of permanently activated, it increased their endurance by 70%. So that's what people, you know, it's like they were able to go 70% longer. So that's where people, you know, all the studies now, there's going to be a pill soon that will increase your endurance.
If you could find it in humans or make it work, now you create these super endurance athletes.
So what interested me more than the study is the science, because we get all kinds of studies, you know, increase your strength by this percent or increase that or do this or do that, the other thing. But, again, it was kind of the science that interested me. So first part is they found that the fatigue happened when the blood sugar level dropped to a specific level. You know, I don't have the numbers in my notes, but there's a specific number that fatigue happens for both the rats or the mice that were given the GW and also normal mice.
When you talk about fatigue, so what type of fatigue? So we're talking about cardiovascular fatigue where you're like out of breath, as opposed to say muscular fatigue where like your legs or your arms are just
couldn't
too tired.
They couldn't keep going. You know, okay. So again, you can't really ask the mouse like, did you stop because you were tired or did you stop because the muscles couldn't work? But actually we'll kind of touch on that a little bit as we go. So basically the fatigue happened when blood sugar reached a certain level. And it was the same level in both the mice that were given, you know, both the control group and the group, in the group that was given the GW. So the difference was just the length of time that it took to get to that blood sugar level. So here's what's interesting. So basically for the brain to continue activity, the brain needs sugar to continue activity. It relies on breaking down sugar or breaking down the glucose, not the fat, where the body can utilize both fat and sugar. So it's when you fatigue and you kind of quote hit the wall, that's because of the sugar. Your sugar has been depleted. It's not the fat that's been depleted. So what they found through the study was that there were almost a thousand kind of gene changes, right? And so some, you know, with some genes either get more expressed or less expressed. And what they found was that the genes that were associated with an increased breakdown of fat, so genes that broke down fat for energy, that was more expressed, right? So those genes were more expressed. And then the genes that were dealing with breaking down sugar for energy were actually less expressed. So there were less. So that combination is what allowed for the better endurance, right? So basically, if the brain requires just sugar, but the body can run on sugar and fat, it makes sense then to increase your fat burning for the body and to decrease the sugar burning for the body, because the brain needs the sugar. The body can run on the fat, but the brain needs the sugar. So if the body's using sugar and fat, you know, you're depleting what the brain needs. So
how do you make it so that the body just burns the fat while preserving the sugar for the brain? Yeah.
So Michael Downs, right, that was his name, as part of the study said, this study suggests that burning fat is less of a driver of endurance than a compensatory mechanism to conserve glucose. So it's interesting, right? That's what really interested me in that study more than like, again, who knows, you know, when they'll ever develop this as a real, you know, viable thing for products for humans. But that's the sexy title. And I'm sure we'll use something like that for our own title, cause we got to get listens, but it's the science that was more interesting to me. And, you know, there is some practical application. So, you know, obviously people suffering from like heart disease, or diabetes, or who have limits to their, you know, kind of limitations to their activity, this could be beneficial to them. And, you know, like a drug that can increase, you know, the breaking down fat and decrease, the breaking down
of
sugar.
How would you do that? How would that work?
What do you mean?
Like, how could you, like, how, I, I'm just curious, just, you know, thinking, how would a drug that does that work, like, prevent you from burning this?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. So basically it's there's a gene, that gene, right? The PPAR delta, for whatever reason, right? Activating that gene is what's causing, you know, kind of ends up causing that reaction. So again, you give them that drug, the drug activates the gene, then the changes, again, almost a thousand changes that are associated with, again, increasing the breakdown of fat and decreasing the breakdown of sugar. So all of a sudden, you know, that's where, you know, God, who knows where we're going to be in 10, 15, 20 years with kind of gene therapy and being able to kind of go in there, and individually say, okay, we're going to, you know, again, we're going to increase, express this more and not express it and, you know, just control these little details that then lead to, again, 70% more cardio or whatever it is. It's kind of crazy.
So what do we know about the gene in humans?
I don't know.
We don't know anything.
Yeah, no. So this is just done in mice. So
it just happened to be, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where it's just the beginning and where, you know, it's easy to kind of take the study. That's, again, like I said, it's easy to look at the study and say the fascinating, you know, for me, the fascinating thing is kind of learning more about how the body utilizes, you know, how endurance works. That's more interesting to me than the whole 70% thing. Because, I mean, we're years away from that ever happening. It's an interesting thing in and of itself. Like, what is it moral? Like, once if they develop this drug that increases your endurance by 70%, is that a moral thing to use? Is it?
But now here's a thought. Just because you increase your endurance, does that make you healthier? That just means you're able to run longer or swim longer, yeah, right? Does that mean you're going to burn more fat? Maybe you won't. Maybe that doesn't equate to more calories being lost or more fat being
burned. Well, sure, it does, right? if you're able to do more cardio.
You sure?
What
if your body adapts to the fact that it's able to and it just doesn't burn? I mean, what if your output isn't the same? You don't think it works that way?
No, of course not. If you're doing more work, you're going to burn more. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. It's math. I mean, there's no other way around it. So if I'm able to run 70% longer, then I'm going to burn that many more calories no matter what. If I adapt, then I adapt, then I can still continue. Yeah. You know, it's still 70% more than if I didn't take the drug. So I think that, you know, obviously who knows what side effects are associated with it. And again, we're very long ways away from anything like this being on the market. Cause we don't know that it works in humans. I don't know that, you know, the study, you know, any of this has been replicated, you know, so there are many steps before we ever have this actually on the market. But
just imagine again, really, it's what the effect would be on your overall energy levels. Or does it just kick in when you start exercising?
I don't know. That's a good question. Who knows? we're a long ways away from knowing how this would affect you. But imagine,
does it apply to other things?
I don't
70%
know.
Longer. Oof. I mean, that would be the bigger selling point.
But that's nothing to do with cardio. For everybody. I don't know that that is a cardio.
Wait, what are you talking about? I was talking about running.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. We'll say that you were talking about running. Sure. Okay. But fine. All right.
Because that always seems the selling point. Like in the movie Idiocracy. Like, what all the best minds in the world, where they contribute, you know, where, you know, what they contribute to society is all for, you know, making money and like nothing of real worth.
Yeah, that's true.
I haven't seen that movie Idiocracy in a while. Pretty good.
It's a good movie. So I'd never seen it until about a year ago.
Oh man, it's some things are just like so accurate, and it just hits on things. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of not getting into politics, I will not say anything. All right, so we got a question. Ask the trainer. Why don't you read the Ask the Trainer?
All right. It comes from Jose. Ooh, I like this question. He says, where does the fat go? No, seriously. What happens to fat when a person, quote, burns it? Love the podcast. Thanks.
All right, so that's
we've talked about this. Great,
yeah, we have talked about it before.
Doesn't it get turned into muscle?
Yes, exactly. When you work on it, so that's probably the older myth from when we were, you know, coming up, where that fat just turns into muscle. But basically, you know, they used to think like it just literally just changes to energy and you get used that, and then people thought you excrete it out. But actually, what happens is it pretty much just gets released as CO2. Mm. So you basically breathe out your fat. I'll leave a link.
But it does get converted to energy.
I mean, yeah, like there's to. You know, there's the, you have the triglycerides that get kind of broken down, and you know, some of it's, you know, broken down and uses energy, and then, you know, there's a byproduct that's left that basically there's a CO2 that's left that gets breathed out. So you basically just breathe out your fat. I will butcher the science on it, but I will leave an article or leave a post in the show notes that kind of does a, you know, far better job explaining than I could ever explain. But basically that's where the fat goes. So you don't burn the fat. It doesn't melt away. It doesn't, you know, you don't like pee it out or, you know, anything. It doesn't magically kind of turn into energy or heat. You breathe out the energy, you breathe it out. And there's some kind of studies where they're able to kind of measure, the volume of CO2 and connect it to the fat loss, and you know, the math kind of works out. So you breathe out CO, out, you breathe it. Your fat out. That's it. That's where the fat goes.
But that doesn't mean you can just breathe it out. You still have to like diet and exercise in order to breathe it out, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you'll replenish your stores if you're not, you know, dieting and exercising, but you will be breathing. You're breathing it out. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Cool. So,
Jose, I hope that answered your question because that's the answer to the question. And yep, you all know where to reach us.
Yes, thegymwits.com. If you want to send us a question, thegymwits@gmail.com. And
please rate us, write reviews. They all help, especially if they're positive reviews, which almost all of them have been. I think all of them have been positive reviews mostly. That we've received.
Yeah, we got a really good one recently. I was thinking we should read it. It was like, oh, we got some nice reviews. So definitely.
Yeah, we really appreciate it every time you guys write in. Review, rate, it all helps.
It matters both for our egos as well as for the numbers in the podcast. So however Apple does their works their magic or their algorithms, the better the more frequent the feedback and better the feedback, the better chance people are at finding us. So that is it. So And that's how you can pay us back.
And of course, if you guys ever want us to talk about a subject, you know, you write in for questions, but there may be something that you want a little bit more of an in-depth conversation about, please feel free to write us, and we'd love to hear your ideas. We love to give back. That's why we do this. So just, you know, always be in contact with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Cool. All right. Well, that's it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
We are the Gymwits.